Reformed Church.
So let me just share this with you. I'm not exactly sure. I think I want to sometime, I don't know, elaborate on it, because I have this whole thing of how things can happen and all these ideas. But so I don't know what it's what the full name of it is. I just jotted down this thing called, and I titled it just Reigning from the Shadows. And it says, this story is about a young farmer boy named Richard. At a tender age, he ascended to the line of succession to the throne of his father and brother. Surprisingly, and in shock to all the world, his brother, the reigning king, vanished without a trace, leaving Richard next in the royal lineage. Consequently, Richard became the rightful heir to the throne, assuming the title of King Richard III. No relationship, actually, to the actual King Richard. I think there is one, or there was one. So he assumed the title of King Richard III, right? His father was the first King Richard. His brother was the second King Richard. He's the third King Richard. And that was at age 13. Says Richard's inexperience and limited maturity posed significant challenges. He grappled with the complexities of the responsibilities that accompanied the role of a king, including the weighty decisions that demanded his attention daily and the numerous council meetings that consumed his time and energy. Despite possessing all the necessary resources and privileges, Richard experienced a profound sense of unhappiness and dissatisfaction. This was not attributed to the lack of resources at his disposal, but rather his inability to effectively reign in his kingdom. I don't know why I felt like a lump in my throat for that right now, but he said, it says, in a surprising turn of events, Richard's brother, the king, had not truly vanished, but had been secretly residing in the castle home. One day, King Richard became aware of his brother's presence. He wondered why his brother revealed himself to Richard, but not to the rest of the world. Nonetheless, he was so happy to have his brother back. Every day, King Richard engaged in long conversations with his brother, seeking understanding and wisdom that would teach him to reign. From the shadows of the castle, his brother imparted knowledge that provided the necessary words to enable King Richard to develop his royal speech and mindset. King Richard's reign was not predicated on his own understanding, but rather on the counsel and instruction of his brother, the king. Despite the secrecy surrounding his brother's existence, King Richard was fully taking advantage of his brother's presence. Ultimately, King Richard matured in wisdom and in knowledge in order to reign effectively, as every king should. He comprehended the immense wealth and prosperity bestowed upon him, and despite occasional errors, found immense joy and fulfillment, regardless of all his royal duties. To this day, King Richard continues to reign alongside his brother, whose presence is still concealed from the world. So, you know, there's a lot of things probably that I could go into that with things that I have been thinking about. But, you know, there were really two verses that I think for me kind of built this whole thing in my mind. Romans 5:17 is the first one. It says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." And the second one is also Romans. It's Romans 14:17. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." You know, a lot of this has come from, you know, you see so many Christians that have such an abundance on the inside of them, right? But live still, even though they have been given everything, they live with just such a dissatisfaction and unhappiness in their lives, right? And really don't know the extent of what they have. So they're kings in a kingdom that they don't understand the depth of the wealth and riches that have come along with that kingdom. And I love the way verse 17 in John 14 says, joy in the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, like in that story, he, as he continued to grow in knowledge and in wisdom, you know, he came out with just such great joy. And I love the way the Lord also says in Romans 4 that, you know, we reign in life. You know, the Lord came to give us life and life abundantly. And there is such a struggle within the church. Like, you can feel it, a struggle in the church, whether we have life or don't, whether we have it now or we have it later. Whether it's such a struggle with life. And that's this. How could there not be such, how could there not be unhappiness and dissatisfaction when the very life that we've been given, the gifts that have been imparted to us, are the very things that we struggle with, whether or not we have them? You know, so it's like being a king without a kingdom, being a king with disposal, with nothing at your disposal, being a king and having nothing that actually makes you king, right? So it's so many things that, you know what, if we truly don't have life, if we don't have life abundantly, if life cannot abound from us, if we can't have life and give life, then we're kings of what? You know, we're in what kingdom? We haven't arrived at any kingdom. We have nothing to enjoy. We have been given any blessings. We have nothing, right? If we don't have life, we don't have anything. Because, you know, we could stop bickering about little things. The truth is that if we don't have life at our disposal and we can't rein in that life, then we actually have arrived at nothing. You know, we've just received some promise of a day to come. But if we really know, you know, that we actually, if we can allow the Lord, like from the shadows, like the inside of our castle home, to be able to teach us from there. That's what happens, I think, when you're talking and you have like other people in your head too sometimes. But you know, it doesn't have to actually, one of the things that the Lord was actually speaking to me along with all this stuff was you can't reign with in other words, King Richard couldn't be a king if his concentration was on the people, right? His concentration needed to be on just him reigning, right? Him reigning. And the fact that, you know, I jotted down a little note that King Richard was never meant to reign alone, right? We were never intended to be kings by ourselves. So, you know, sometimes, you know, of course, I think what bothers me sometimes is to see people that you love and care about actually like fighting back, refusing to accept everything, like just the wealth of what they've been given, and living so substandard to really a king and how we should be reigning. You know, here's the thing. If the kingdom of God, which we are already citizens of, the Bible says, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, right? Like, we ought to have, that's why Romans 4 says that we need to be able to receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness so we can reign in life. So if that's really what the kingdom is, if the kingdom of God is righteousness, then we should receive that righteousness and utilize the righteousness that we have. If the kingdom of God is joy in the Holy Spirit, then you would expect Christians to be able to understand why it is that we can rejoice in the Lord, right? Why it is that we have reason to rejoice in the Lord. So, you know, like sometimes, you know, you just get a little choked up. Like while I'm reading that story, I'm just thinking about just how cool it is to be who we are, to actually be people. When he says that we ought to be people that reign in life, He's calling you a king, right? Kings reign, right? Kings reign. Slaves do not reign. Kings reign. And if the Lord is saying that we should be people that reign in life, then we should be people that should be doing that exact thing that we're saying. Reign in the life that we have been given. reign in that life. In other words, that is experiencing life and life abundantly in every single area of our lives and reigning above it. In other words, being above it all. A lot of what I wrote down there in that story that kind of brought him to that unhappiness and depression, even though he was a king, is because he was so overcome by all of his responsibilities and all the stuff happening. But yet the thing is, you know, that's a misunderstanding to think, number one, that you would think that as a king you're supposed to reign by yourself and that you're supposed to figure this out, right? But we have that we have that savior that disappeared from the eyes of the world for a time, and he will appear again to the sight of the world, but he's disappeared for a time from the sight of the world. And just like the disciples said, you know, why is it that you reveal yourself to us and not to the world? How is it that that's going to happen? And what the Lord told them is, you know what, the world won't see me, but you will see me. And I think we have to go back to that understanding that we weren't intended, now that our life is hidden Christ, we weren't intended to be people that live just to try to do our best by ourselves, but that we're people that were intended to reign in Jesus Christ, right? Like we're to reign with him. We're not to reign by ourselves, but we're to reign with him and to allow him, like from the shadows on the inside of us, to be able to speak and to teach us and to enlighten the eyes of our understanding and to open our minds to all the wealth. Ephesians says the exceeding greatness of the power, right, that the King of Kings has given us, right? King of Kings because he has made us kings, right? And he's a king himself. The power that he has shared with us, and it is so amazing that it's the same power that so many people keep slapping back. You know, sometimes you can just rejoice because it's so good. And sometimes, you know, it bothers me to, and not that it needs to bother me, but it bothers me to see Christians that actually love the Lord to actually push back at what God has already so freely given them, you know. So they're not able to freely give because they have not freely received, even though they actually have it, right? They already have it on the inside of them, but they aren't willing to receive from the very life that's already on the inside of them, right? It's like living with everything, right, and taking advantage of nothing, right? Living with everything and taking advantage of nothing. And that's why I think it rings true. I remember talking to Pastor Mike the other day, and the verse came to my mind that, you know, a hope deferred does make a heart sick. That is where unhappiness and dissatisfaction as a Christian can come from, right? It is when we defer and put our expectation for today, and we take that and we throw it into years from now, right? And we throw it into some time in the future, and it just can't be today, right? I understand why that would why that would make your heart sick, but obviously it's not true, right? Everything that the Lord has given to us, he said, is for, he says, today, right? Today is the day for us to be able to reign in Jesus Christ, you know?
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.